What's up, everybody? What's up? Hope everybody's having a great fucking Good Friday. If you're Catholic, if you're not, I hope you're still having a Good Friday. And so I just wanted to come back on here, talk with you guys. I know we talked about the Diddy situation a little bit real quick. Obviously, Diddy's kind of fucked up. I mean, just, you know, and what's funny is, like, the raid's going down, and then it's, I'm only going to stay on this topic for, like, 5 minutes, and then I'm moving on to, like, Ryan Garcia, because, like, I'm fed up with that whole situation, so I'm going to tell you what I'd like to do with that. So, you know, they raid his humble fucking Homely Hills fucking residency. They raid the L.A. house. Who knows what they're going to turn up for evidence. I'm sure if somebody was running such traffic in or any type of pornos in there, I'm sure it would have never been in that house. I mean, that would just be fucking stupid. But there was one cat during the raid, I think they said they had in custody. Now, you know, detaining somebody with cuffs and then having him in custody is, to me, is like two different issues. Like, if you're getting detained, you're just being detained right now. You're not under arrest. But if you're in police custody, to me, that signals that you got arrested. So I feel like one of them got arrested. But I'm not totally sure. But the thing that blows my mind, right, is here's Diddy at the airport, right? And just imagine, like, you're Diddy, okay? And now you know that you get watched by all kinds of cameras, right? But there's one particular, you know, television magazine company that seems to be always Johnny on the motherfucking spot, right? So, you know, this raid gets conducted. And then, like, the bodyguard, so the reason why for all the tactical gear was a little shock and awe. You know, and it's like Lil Wayne, like, you know, I'm not gonna walk out of my house without, you know, I don't walk through the door without a fucking strap on that bitch, you know what I mean? And so, you know, they go in there searching it because they don't want nobody to come out and fucking scare them, get shot, this, that, and the third. You know, there is fucking higher elevation grounds, more advantage on the fucking, the SRT team or whatever it is. So they clear the house with all this big fucking shock and awe. But there's a bodyguard or a security guard on the premises, right? So obviously they had to get his gun, detain him, and be like, look, you have no jurisdiction here. You're fucked, okay? So don't move or you're going to get fucking annihilated. So he sits there and chills, right? Okay, great. So now they do their raid. They're all done. They complete. They take all this stuff out. And then you're telling me the bodyguard just lets TMZ come into the fucking house? You know, and it's like, it's almost like Diddy knows that he's going to get an idea, he's going to get a glimpse of how bad the house got torn up from the feds. Now, the feds went in there and they were tearing shit the fuck up. I mean, they, you know, I don't know why they didn't go through every pair of sneakers. To me, that would have been fucking the most easiest way to hide something, because they probably said, I'm not gonna go through fucking 50 fucking pairs of shoes. It's like fucking 100 fucking pairs of shoes here. It's enough to hold a fucking flash drive, you know what I mean? So in any event, they do the raid, and then TMZ gets this, you know, first-hand glimpse. Like, how does TMZ get to enter a premises after a fucking raid? After a governmental Homeland Security, all due to sexual trafficking, right? Or associates with that, the Homeland Security, they lead the charge, and then they say, oh, hey, you know, but since we're all done, you can let TMZ in there and let fucking, and so Sean can see how bad we fucked up his house and shit like that. And, oh, by the way, you know, what if TMZ fucking went in there and picked up something that they wasn't supposed to? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I find it so fucking bullshit. Like, the world is a fucking stage. If you guys believe that, Listen, man. Two houses get raided, and TMZ's in there fucking, like, literally minutes after the fucking fact. So all those trucks that you seen in front of the fucking house, one of them probably was TMZ. They just say it's just gonna sit here for, you know, a couple hours. They're probably on the line with the cops, for Christ's sakes. But if you want to go and take a dab of your, you know, dip a fucking toe into the conspiracy puddle, it's almost like we have eyes on you all the time. And now we even get to go in and see a house. So much so, we knew you were at the fucking airport. Like, who got the tip that he was at the airport? And there's Sean just sitting there, pacing back and forth. Meanwhile, your fucking two kids are sitting there getting arrested. Fucking helicopter flying over them for fucking hours. Getting zoomed in live on fucking Florida fucking, you know, Florida's fucking national, the local news. The house is under the daughter's name. You know, that's probably for tax reasons and shit. But let's just say it's not for tax reasons, shit. The house now owns his daughter. So the daughter now owns a house that supposedly or allegedly could have sex trafficking implications. Are you fucking shitting me, dude? So Mace was not off the beaten path when he left Bad Boy and said, he said something about Diddy when he was a preacher. He says, that man, he goes, I don't wish him no ill will. He goes, but that man hides behind diamonds. He says he just thinks he can stand behind a diamond and everything is all good. So, you know, it just showed me that Mace was like, he's all for the money. Like, so much so that he'll let his fucking kids get arrested. Or he'll fucking put this house in his kid's name, knowing that that fucks up her shit. Like, this guy does not care about nobody. Because if somebody's going to say to me, oh, Wayne, why you say he doesn't care about his kids because he wasn't there? Yeah, like, fucking exactly. Because if it was me, and I was trying to fight allegations like that, and you know that nobody's going to get arrested, and you know nobody's going to get detained, nobody's going to get arrested, and you know there's no indictment coming, or at least that day, or no warrant, there was a search warrant, but not a search warrant to arrest P. Diddy, because they would already had him at the fucking... But they would have had him at the fucking, at the airport. So, my thing is, what it looks like is that Diddy's waiting at the airport to find out, hey, did they find anything? And if they did, I'm hopping on a chartered jet to fucking Bangladesh or something. You know what I mean? To some non-extradition country. Homeland Security would have grounded the fucking plane if that was the case. Do you know what I mean? Even if they had a search warrant. But his travel restrictions he has no restrictions on his travel, so he can go and come as he pleases as of now. So, you know, just to leave your kids like that and just see yourself fucking waddling at the fucking airport, who knew you were there, first off? Because he was in, like, a section where it was just quiet. He had no fucking bodyguards with him. He was in, like, some blue jump sweatshirts and a white t-shirt. You know, who the fucking knows if it was really him? Do you know what I mean? At the end of the day. But what I'm getting at is that, so you're sitting there just waiting to, what, hightail it out of here and thinking that fucking the government's not going to ground you a fucking G5? Are you shitting me? So... I don't know if you guys remember, but there was a nice show on Netflix called House of Cards. And in that fucking show starred Kevin Spacey. And I don't know if you guys might not remember, but back in about 2018, I think, there was allegations that Spacey had went down to a Nantucket restaurant and slapped a waiter on his ass. And made the waiter feel uncomfortable. So, hence, after that whole situation, and you can look this up on YouTube, he kind of goes a little haywire. Okay, he starts. So, in the show that he portrayed, House of Cards was a president, American president. His name was Underwood. I can't remember the first. Frank Underwood. So, Kevin Spacey. Has to go to court in Massachusetts and he's getting arraigned. You know, he's getting familiar with the court proceedings. Well, I think like the very next day after the court hearings, he goes on YouTube. He's in character, like in character of like Frank Underwood, okay? And he's talking in the character's voice as if he was saying a message. Now on the cup of coffee that he's holding has like a family code of arms. Like if your last name, if you look it up, you'll have a code of arms. Okay? Now every family has a code of arms. Well, the cup he was holding had a coat of arms on it. And some people say it was a message to the Crown in the UK saying, hey, you know, look, if I go down for this shit, I'm taking somebody down with me. Do you know what I mean? Because that's just how they fucking roll. They're going to squeal on each other. I mean, they live the life of privilege. You think they're going? They think they want to go behind fucking bars? Even if it was a country club. They're not trying to do any Martha Stewart type shit. They ain't trying to bake cakes and shit. No way. Mm-mm. They want to smoke cigars and drink yak. So, you know, so TMZ gets access to it. Kevin Spacey does something to the Crown, right? So what I'm getting my point, so my whole point to this spiel is that when Kevin Spacey did that message, after that, like the whole case just went totally fucking bye bye. I mean, totally went bye bye. I don't know if he paid a fine or settled out of court or something, but it was just like you didn't hear about it much on the news after that. You know what I mean? And so, but it was enough for Netflix to cut the fucking show. So let's just say somebody that was filming 3 seasons of House of Cards, and he produces or executive produces, fucking stage personnel, you name it, probably knew that, wow, you know, this guy is a little fucking weird sometimes on set. And Netflix says, hey, you know what? We got enough right here just to fucking cancel the show. One of the hottest shows, mind you, at that time on fucking Netflix. They fucking axed it. Gone. See you later. So, and I don't think Kevin Spacey has did any other acting event since then. So, you know, it's just an example to show you that what type of message or what type of breadcrumbs can you lead to believe or understand that if Puffy doesn't face any fucking recourse of action, even if he goes through court proceedings and nothing comes of it, then you know he's protected to the point where he's making more money for them out of jail than if he was in jail, okay? R. Kelly was useless. He wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, you know, the guy's been fucking smoking fucking Cohibas and fucking drinking cognac for like 30 years. There's no way his voice is gonna fucking, you know, pump out like it did before, right? So he's useless. And so now, who, I know I spent more time on this, but now who's the next one to fall? Who's the next one to fall? People say it's Meek Mills, you know what I mean? They got fucking the diddler running around on fucking social media, which is going to scare anybody that is associated with Combs. Now, the funny thing is that Obama is in a picture with Combs, and I'd love to know what home they took that picture in. So it's a kitchen of some sorts, and I would, if I had to guess, it's either in the Hamptons or it's the Florida one. Okay, so you know, there's that little element there, right? And I told, you know, we know about the Obama's little, you know, chef and stuff, and his little accident. Okay, and then recently you have the Boeing worker, right, that's been going after Boeing for 30 years about telling them how, you know, they totally just fucking didn't care about safety and they just did whatever they wanted to. And he's found dead. After telling his wife, like, you know, hey, look, I'm not going to commit suicide, so if some shit like that happened, and it was probably just no coincidence with his own self just saying, hey, look, you know, if it's suicide, it's not me. Now, let's just say he was that would be a nice diversion of saying, hey, you know, I didn't kill myself just to make his family feel like, hey, the Bowen fucking people killed me. Now, you know, when, crazy shit goes through your mind when you're doing some shit. You know, like the kid Andre Dawson. You know, he could be putting a fat fucking ruse on everybody and just created this story and just left it out for the people. So at the end of the day, it's like, you know, he's grown, he's changed his appearance to the point where, you know, this, that, and the third. Or he could be dead. I don't know, but I'm just saying it's that, like, things of that nature, you can really make it lead to believe that somebody's either passed on or an abduction or some type of thing that has happened to this person. So, you know, with all the mystery deaths and things like that. So what happened to the whistleblower, he was found in a hotel parking lot in his truck, succumbed to a gunshot wound to the head with a note left on the passenger seat, okay? And if we know this guy, if we know anything about this guy, he's probably had a Chevrolet, an old Chevrolet, with like, you know, like with a bench seat in the pickup truck, a bench seat and blows his head away, right? So you say, okay, but he was in a parking lot, right, of a hotel? Yeah. So like, isn't there any cameras in the fucking hotel that looks out to the, you know, to the parking lot? I mean, Jesus Christ, we're talking 2024 at this point, after COVID and all the fucking, you know, thievery and, you know, just the lawlessness that's been going on for like the last 2.5 years, right? You're telling me, you know, the hotel that's probably ran by, I would imagine maybe not some un-American, and they didn't have no extra security on the premises or security cameras to see anything? Like, I find that hard to believe. You know what I mean? So, obviously, you know, the gun was put to his head. He was forced to write a note and things like that. And then he goes, you know. But it's just funny how this is all happening when a fucking door blows off on Boeing, right? And they're already under federal investigations for or safety check. They're under a federal fucking oversee to where they had to make sure they were doing these things, and it was like a checks and balance. So that was like, what, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago or something like that, or they had, were having some problems. So this oversight has been on Boeing for a while, and the whistleblower says once they merged, they gave two fucks about safety, and they would just come through and just do what they do. And so when the door blew off in on that Alaska flight, there was no screws in the fucking thing, okay? So, and the NTSB said, oh, well, you know, they probably came off in flight. Hey, how are you? Thanks, brother. You know, they probably came off, you know, fucking, you know, through the violent fucking suction of the, you know, turbulence in the back. But no, them fucking screws were never put on. So NTSB says, okay, well, you know, you guys, you know, been under this federal, you know, this federal oversight. So where's the logs? The logs for what? The log for the door with the four screws, you moron. Oh, we don't have those. What? You don't have those? So we just went up from fucking negligence to gross fucking negligence, right? The lady that was on the plane that day, she's suing for $1 billion. She's gonna get a shit ton, okay? Because you had an oversight, a federal oversight, and they still didn't even fucking do it. They still didn't even do the checks and balances and the safety checks on it. So much to the point where the screws weren't even fucking screwed into the door. So then the NTSB says, okay, look, I want to talk to every fucking guy, every personnel that was working on this particular plane. I want to talk to every single one of them. Somebody's going to give me something, because this shit don't make no sense. So, like, you like people, so say somebody literally dropped the ball, or this is criminally, or you guys are going to be criminally liable for just total fucking absolute failure to do anything, and dissolve this company, and Lockheed Martin's going to come and swoop it up and buy the shit out of it. And so you look at that and you say, okay, that's a fucking, that something's wrong there, right? You know, if we just go back to Diddler and TMZ having, you know, these fucking photos of being able to snatch of P. Diddy's house, or, you know, maybe they bought him from the cops and they could fucking put TMZ on him. I don't know, but it just looked like TMZ had this thing. TMZ was in the helicopter of the fucking Florida local news. And he's like, oh yeah, TMZ flying overhead. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, these people are everywhere. You know, and they're always Johnny on the spot, like either before something happens or after something happens. It just seems to be the thing. So now that P. Diddy falls, is it Meek Mills that's next? Because, mind you, Meek Mill got backed by, you know, Rubin, which is another person that they're looking at is Chris, was it Chris Rubin or Mike Rubin that owns the Eagles. So Mike Rubin, the way he was getting sun-checked on the fucking pitches, Meek didn't look too fucking, Meek looked meek. And then people are saying is Bieber gonna spill some beans? You know, they done fucked with that kid a million times. But mind you, just look at the past, you'll see the future. Crisscross, pulling their hair out, fucking suicide, just couldn't take all the fucking shit that they have went through. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you know, what the fuck? I mean, if Kevin Gates says that he's been SA'd when he was a child, you know he's going through some fucking shit. Obviously, that's why he was born, promethazine, probably to numb that shit and find out if he even really wanted to exist. Is he gay? Is he straight? What the fuck is he? Do you know what I'm saying? So now look at him. Now he's all fucking fucked up. He's willing to swing with fucking Beyonce and fucking Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying? Just so he can tap that ass. Talking about fucking a cousin. You know, what, a second or third cousin. I don't care what the fuck. But do you know what I'm saying, guys? I mean, like, that's just a little weird, right? So obviously the trauma from him facing that created some fucking shit. So the trauma that the crisscross face is they're facing some shit. Right? And every other fucking, and every other thing. Now, what's funny is that if you've seen any of these videos of Gene Deal before this raid, you listen to Gene Deal, he's totally shitting on fucking P. Diddy. And that also, that fucking slimy, that slimy snake Mike Curry. That dude, if you listen to an interview he has with either the kid with the Art of the Dialogue, or if you look at a video with him with Vlad, he's talking about, we were popping pills in them birds' mouth, we put them over here, and then they pop, we come up to the VIP section, it bars everywhere, and they say, hey man, these bottles are for the girls, man, and these bottles for the girls, don't touch these bottles, you want to drink these bottles, don't drink those bottles, okay? So he's part of the shit, he's fucking part of the shit, and he's trying to weasel his fucking way out now, you know, so when, out of the, when, so, like I said, before these raids, bro, Gene Deal was talking mad fucking heavy shit about him. So wasn't fucking Mike Curry and every other fucking person. Okay? Now, all of a sudden, you know, there's a fucking video that's probably, I don't know, maybe 48 hours old of Gene Deal up there talking about, yeah, well, you know. Sorry, guys, we got cut off. So, yeah, Gene Deal, he does his little latest video with somebody, I forget who it was, you know, and I think it was either with Vlad or the Out of Dialogue, and he comes out with some humble pie, like, you know, it was so scripted, it was like somebody had told him how to start this thing off, and like how he was going to be either neutral or whatnot. But if you asked him again, you asked him any other question, he'd tell you, oh yeah, Diddy would do this, Diddy would do that, you know, blah, blah, blah. you know, they would talk to, and then what blew my mind, like, my curry, bro, like if I ever see you, bro, I would fuck your shit up. I would fight you regardless. I'd fight you for charity, just to bust your ass, kid, because you're a slimy snake, and I'd be goddamn if you weren't even part of the shit, or you was one of the facilitators of these things, okay? So, I don't even know who you are. Like, I know about G Dep and Black Rob. I don't know a fucking Mark Curry, and I love hip-hop, so I don't know where this cat came from, right? Bald and shit. So you see him in the first video. I'm telling you guys, check it out. If you watch it, watch a video of like either Out of the Deal or DJ Vlad is in there, and it would be like a month old, obviously. And then anything that you see that's in like in the last 3 days, watch after you watch the older one, the oldest fucking video, and get an idea of how this cat talks. And he was like pompous about how he would. You know, how they would have these girls everywhere, man. It was girls everywhere. Girls, girls, girls. And then he talked about how Diddy opened up a fucking door one day when he knocked on it. He was completely starched fucking naked. And, you know, Mark's like, I don't know how a man can do that. And, you know, and shit. You know, just tell me when you're done, right? You don't have to fucking open the door with your shit out. So he's talking like that, you know what I mean? So saying like, Diddy just didn't give a fuck. He just let his schlong and his shit just slap around his fucking legs right in front of anybody. And so Diddy does this. Mark knows it, and he's like, oh, well, man, I'll just wait till you come back out. So he waits till he comes back out and shit. But he goes, yeah, man, there was just some weird shit going on. And Mark would give you the insinuate that he wasn't with it, and, you know, Diddy was always type of fucking fruity and shit, so he was like a fucking, you know, he's saying that, you know, Diddy was a fucking fruit snack at the end of the day. So I'm like, oh, okay, great. So Diddy's a motherfucking fruit snack, and you're telling me that fucking, now all of a sudden, excuse me, I don't mean to be swearing, I'm sorry, guys, because I'm just, like, so passionate right now about this shit, and it's so fake, because everything seems to be always set up perfectly. It's just bullshit. You know what I'm saying? So Mark Curry does a interview alongside with DJ Vlad. Now this is on Piers Morgan's show. This is just recently, okay? And you're gonna get a if you read. I tell you, it's imperative that you watch the old video that was done with Mark Curry, and he's sitting in his house. Then watch the interview with him, Vlad, and fucking Piers Morgan, okay? So Piers lets him start. Piers gives him more airtime than DJ Vlad. DJ Vlad is a fucking huge platform. But where Mark Curry, like, hey, I don't know him, dude. I don't know you. I don't know how you started rapping. I've never heard of you, right? So, like, he's like, yeah, you know, you're a rapper and whatever. You were hanging with him and shit like that, right? So obviously Piers is starting to associate, you're associating with P. Diddy to the point where you're hanging with him, you're rapping, you know, you must have bodied with him, you must have been in one of these things, you know, and he would just say like neutral fucking statements. I can't even pull one out of my head because it was so fucking stupid. Oh, that I remember one of them. He said, so after in the middle of this, after his 3 minutes of airtime that Piers gave him. I don't know why they didn't, like, the producer didn't tell him to chop him off. Because he just started, like, going off the beaten path. Like, you could tell, like, Mark's like a nut, dude. Right? So he goes, oh, hey, you know, he goes, you know, Vlad, that's why we got to get together, man, and help spread the word and do this shit. What? I'm, like, dying. I'm, like, my jaw drops to the floor. I'm, like, this guy is in a live... You're running live, and you're trying to run a business proposition to DJ Vlad on Piers Morgan's platform? Who does that? That is not a business way about it, right? So he says, so he baits Vlad, right? He's a snake, dude. He knows exactly what he's doing. He baits Vlad by saying, the hell? It said something to like, I'm sure Vlad would, so Piers Morgan asked Mike Curry, do you think P. Diddy has talent? And fucking Mike Curry goes, no. And I'm like, what? Dude, yes he does. He's got mad fucking talent. That's all he did was dance. He was like the first dancing fucking rapper. I mean, the first commercialized rapper that was the most marketable in a long time, for a long time, right? So he says, so Mike Curry says, no, I don't think so. And then he's like, you know, and then so as he's explaining like his why he doesn't think Puffy's fucking talented, he starts asking for business propositions with Vlad by saying, and now mind you, here's three heads on the screen. There's fucking Pierce, there's Vlad in the middle, and there's Mark Curry on the left. And he's sitting there and he's like, yeah, so Vlad, you know, like he's some hot shot, bro. He's like, yeah, so Vlad, that's why we gotta stick together, man. You know, that's why I told you, you gotta come on my platform. This, that, and the third, right? So Vlad's sitting there and you can see him, like his eyes are just looking up like, oh my god, I can't believe this. And he's trying to fucking keep his shit together. And he's rubbing his beard and shit. And I'm like, yo, I can see what's going through this kid's mind right now. Like, I can't believe he's doing this right now. He's trying to fucking sink me and bait me to fucking co-sign it for something that I'm going to say to Tony. So he goes, so Vlad goes, I'd have to disagree with Mark, right? So now I'm like, is he going to disagree about the fucking business proposition? And he goes, unlike Mark, I'm going to have to disagree. I think Diddy has extreme talent. He goes, to take a fucking 300-pound man with a lazy eye and make him one of the most successful, greatest rappers in the fucking world, still to this day, in some people's eyes, it takes a huge amount of talent. And business savviness. Not only that, but to have 112, to have Faith Evans, to have fucking, I'm missing a fucking probably ton here, Mace, you know, it's insane to say that he doesn't have talent. He has talent. He absolutely does have talent. And a shit ton of it. And charisma and all that stuff that comes along with being in the game. He's got, that's why Mace said he can fucking dance like that, because he's got his diamonds on, he's hidden. Nobody can really see the real true Puff Daddy because he's hidden behind his diamonds. So that's why he's got, as long as he's got his shades on, he'll stand in front of Mayor Adams with the fucking key. I'm wondering that key's coming back. Now, you know what? Yeah, Diddy, you can have it. That fucking city's going to shit anyway. You can have it. These people are fleeing. You can have all the migrants. You know? You can fucking stop running Triz Nathaniel on them. So it's just really, who is the next shoe to drop? With Bieba, with Meek, with Fabulous, like with Fabulous and Jadakiss. I mean, there's the Lox. I mean, they got an axe to grind with fucking Puffy. But, you know, they kind of sorted it up a little bit because they Puffy gave back the Masters. But, you know, you just never know. You don't know how deep those hatchets may be buried between, you know, certain fractions of Bad Boy when certain people were signed to him when he was running shit. So it's gonna be a spectacle for sure. You can't have a chick go across state lines in a private jet without a passenger manifesto, a pilot, and you know, shit like that. But of course, it's gonna be hard to recall, you know, certain times and dates with certain people. So, you know, he has a real good chance of skating. If there wasn't any hardcore evidence now, there probably won't be none. It's probably all going to be circumstantial, hearsay, and things like that. So, at this point in time, he's either going to have to come out and start paying off these people to have this shit go away, and then have to make another album or do some type of fucking thing, and get right with the people that are protecting him. So, I'm just waiting to see who's next. People say Jay-Z. You know, there's enough there with Jay-Z. Not like, even with his rhymes, bro, like, if you listen to a couple songs of his, he says, like, I bought you diamonds on your birthday, drove you to college your first day. Like, what? So you drove a chick to college her first day? So that means you were fucking with the chick, so you knew the chick before college, right? You drove the, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you're putting yourself in the first, in the first person as if you're either A, the dad, or A, the boyfriend. So either you were the dad that was taking the girl to school in the verse that you were rhyming, or you were either the fucking pedophile boyfriend. I mean, I just call it how I see it. Like, everybody knows, if you talk to anybody in my past, before anything of this, these things of this magnitude popped up, I'll still sing his songs. It just is what it is. It's programmed into my mind. It's unfortunate. Like, you know, people say, oh, well, Michael Jackson. Yeah, well, I'm sure when you hear fucking Billie Jean, you feel yourself tapping to your foot once in a while, singing a word or two. You know what I mean? You're not just yelling out, raising a red flag, shut it off, shut it off. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck, right? So, like, lay off me. Now, Jay-Z had the big old thing with Dame and all this. So when they split up, you know, Jay just took all of the best artists, okay? And they signed to Roc Nation. They weren't fucking with Dame, okay? So it looked like Dame was the problem. What happened was, is after that, they took Rockaware. He buys it off of Dame for or Pro Kids bought it for either they sold it to somebody. I want to either say it was Pro Kids or somebody else just wanted to buy it. Or I mean Pro Kids wanted to buy it, or Jay-Z either bought it from Pro Kids after the sale of Dame and Dash. So Damon Dash sells it for maybe $15, $20 million. Jay-Z gets a hold of, and this is, you can all, this is all public knowledge. Because the SEC was investigating him in that time. Not just recently, but another time because of this flip. Because then he took Rockaware and he sold it to somebody for $224 million. Right? So everybody's like, how the hell did it go from 15 to $224 million once it switched hands from fucking Dame to Jay? You know what I mean? And then you got the Reebok deal. So I don't know if Reebok bought it. So I don't know who was what. They had a Pro Kids deal. They had the Reebok deal. And so, you know, those were very lucrative fucking deals. So, lucrative, yeah, but not fucking that lucrative. To the point, at $224 million, they would have just said, hey, we're going to stay Rockefeller, and you would see it up like Adidas now, or fucking Puma. Do you know what I mean? That means their sales are fucking got to be three times that, almost three quarters of a billion dollars, if you're going to fucking have that much fucking money in fucking profits and shit, right? So, so it's all fucking funny. And the thing is, so after that, there was one other flip that he did when he got I think it was when he was like president of Def Jam and he was running fucking Rockefeller Records at the same time. I don't think people were kosher on that and shit. But in any event, Jay-Z obviously was well connected to then become president of Def Jam after fucking Simmons. Okay, so they says, well, you know, Simmons was Simmons. You know, we what Simmons did. Same shit, right? Always fucking with models and fucking birds, and you know, probably fucking Quaaludes and what have you, and little fucking Cosby fucking pills, Cosby, right? So these, so obviously there's an epidemic, or a huge epidemic going on in Hollywood, and And either the powers that be, they're going to show us that the world is a stage, and they're going to show us, you know, oh yeah, we raided Dee Dee's fucking house, and you see these little safes and shit, and I'm like, I'm like, and he didn't own any guns in the house. Like, are you fucking kidding me? So, but in any event, right? So they got these safes and shit like that. You know, pictures of this, pictures of that. And then they show you a picture of Diddy sitting at the airport to give you some tantalization as if Diddy's ready to hightail it the fuck out of fucking Miami, right? You know, leaving his kids, his daughter, you know, shit like that. Now, we didn't even scratch the surface with Kim Porter, all right? So there's that element. So there is enough there to bury the fuck, all right? Or not, she died of, it was like afterbirth ammonia or something. It was weird. It was like something like, you know, like, I don't know. You know what it is? I got to look it up and see how many people die from that a year just to see if there's like, you know, if it's like one in every, you know, something like an autism range, and it's like one in every 366 fucking people die of this thing. You know, we would know about it, right? We would hear about it, just like you would hear about autism if it would claim lives like that. So if it was some fucking, you know, out the black, out the blue thing, who knows what's going on. But he never married anybody else. I'm sure he loved the shit out of her. But, you know, who knows? I don't know. But I'm not going to speculate. So my guess is that, you know, there's going to be somebody in the organization that's either, like, because Gene, like I said, if Gene Deal is talking the way he's talking and Mark Curry is talking the way he's talking, especially in front of Vlad, it's like, and you know, Vlad, he's not going to see Vlad is all business. That cat's all business. So he's like, yo, listen, I don't take it there. I just ask everybody's opinion. He goes, mine's irrelevant. You know, the guy's got to do his issues. You know, I've never seen anything. I've never witnessed anything. So I can't really say. You know what I mean? And he has a fucking huge platform to where, you know, he's like his own fucking network pretty much in fucking the next 10 years. So it's just interesting to see how these guys are starting to talk. And so it just leads me to believe that, you know, he's done something. They've cleaned up the joint, and now who is going to be the snitch that breaks open the key and says, okay, so, because in all actuality, if little Rodney Jones is telling the truth about the studio session and him and fucking Cuban Gooding Jr., then that would be the next shoe to drop, would be Cuban. Okay, I think, I if memory serves me correct, I think it was him. I'm not sure. But I think it was him. And if it was him, they're going to be talking to him and saying, okay, so the kid implicates you here. There's a fucking picture of you here. There's the studio. Here's the session, as he says. And this is what he's saying is going on. So now, what says you? Oh, talk to my attorney. You know, so if the feds start seeing these big roadblocks, they're just gonna go to a DA and say, okay, this is gonna be more circumstantial. You don't think they've already contacted J-Lo? You don't think they contacted Shine and said, hey, so what was really the deal? Because, you know, Shine, you nothing for nothing, bro. Like, you held that gun and you thought that prick was gonna have your back through thick and thin because you sounded Jamaican, all right? And so now, since you think you sound Jamaican, you know, and he had your back, you take the murder rap. Nobody talks to J-Lo and says, hey, what's up? You know what I mean? Now that she's in the arms of fucking, of another Boston cat, you know what I mean? Shout out to Boston taking over everything, man. Shout out to 617. We coming for everything. The UFC's fucking everything. Fucking everything. I don't know. The UFC, right? What else do we got? We got Barstools, we got DraftKings, shit. I mean, you know, I need to talk to Dana about his new fucking takeover fucking campaign for Bud Light that I want to coin. You know what I mean? So we got big things. But in any event, I gotta run into the depot, grab some weed, I'll be right back. Okay, so now on to this Ryan Garcia saga that's just now just starting to just roll over into fucking complete stupidity. Okay, I had about enough of it, and I wanted to tell you guys that
I don't know if you've been seeing, you know, what you've been seeing on YouTube, but if you're watching the channel that I watch, this kid gets on to the lives that Ryan does on X. And so, you know, like out of 3,000 people, this one kid that's able to get like the video clips of all his shenanigans since he started this shit is, he has carte blanche into the thing. Like, so if what I mean, so what I'm getting at is like, I don't know how it is, but when you go on X and you do like a, you know, like a group fucking session, they'll have so many names up, like they'll be able to hold maybe 9 names. And then they'll say, you know, okay, there's also eight other thousand people in here, but you have these core people that you'll be able to see there, like fucking, you know, their account headings and shit like that. So I see this dude's Fessify, okay? And when this all first started to break, he was the one that had like the video of his TikTok. So I'm just saying, like, okay, so when this all started, Fessify just, you know, you're telling me just, you know, caught like a fucking lucky lottery ticket, ran through an FYP of Ryan Garcia on fucking on TikTok when he just started on TikTok, right? And now all of a sudden you have this video clip that you're able to clip up, right? And make a duplicate video of and fucking and upload it on YouTube. To the point where the Fessify account almost has more views than the original Ryan Garcia YouTube account, right? So to me that's just a little funny, but you know, hey, weird things could happen, you never know, right? So I'll give that the benefit of the doubt. So just the other day, I talked about it on a previous podcast about maybe a few weeks ago. And talking about how Oscar De La Hoya came up underneath Don King. Okay, Oscar's a fucking snake. And Ryan is rumored to be, you know, recently divorced. Okay, you made $30 million on a fight, but you have to pay $15 million of that in taxes. Okay, unless you distribute it in certain ways, shapes, or form, but you're gonna have to pay some kind of taxes on that money. Okay, so now we're talking $30 million. You gotta pay $8 million taxes on the 20. Okay, so now he's down to what, 22? Now his wife comes in. Yep, getting a divorce. That cuts down to fucking, let's just say 11. All right, he breaks even. Whatever. She's got the kids. She's paying an allowance, a huge allowance a month for her. Okay, and the kids. So not only that, now he's fucking, you know, he's on a spending spree. And now he's gambling, okay? Now, whether he's on fucking cocaine or some type of locker room fucking, you know, nitrogen fucking sniffing shit that they do, you know, bodybuilders or whatever, I have not the case. But maybe it's just when he needs to, you know, let loose and he has to loosen up when he goes on a TikTok or something and starts rambling off. He either needs a little bit of coke, an Adderall, or he likes to drink. To me, it doesn't sound like he's slurring his words more or less, so I'm thinking it's either a good fish scale that he's sucking down, or it's some Adderall. Or it could just be a fucking cellulose. You know what I mean? Who the fuck knows? He drinks a Monster. I don't know. But here's the deal. I can't see him putting any of that shit into his body, right? So I start watching Fessify, and guys know about the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore that fucking fell down or collapsed over the Chesapeake Bay just recently due to shit gasoline in the boat. So now you say, well, how the fuck does shit gasoline get into a boat? Because, like, you know, they got to leave with gasoline from Taiwan. Now this ship is based, I think, is registered out of Taiwan. All right, so it's got a long fucking journey. Now, you know, I would imagine it's fair to say that the Taiwanese docks ain't as tight as the United States docks. But what we hear from this other guy that owns businesses in New York has something to say. We'll have something to say about that. We'll get into it a little later. So you have this big fucking mega boat that's going to get energy. It's a big economic boom to fucking Baltimore. Baltimore's a shithole as it is, right? We all know that. You remember The Wire, right? Like you take your pick. I mean, those shits weren't fucking no staged Hollywood fucking homes. Those were real deal Holyfields. And so, so the boat does this big journey, right? And it leaves the Taiwanese docks. The gas that they caught from the beginning started fucking up the engine. Because you figure, okay, we got a 9-day travel before we even hit fucking, you know, the Atlantic Ocean. And then, you know, we'll dock in 10 days or whatever. And we'll be in New York, however long it is. You know what I'm saying? I'm just spitballing here. So all that time that shit gasoline, which was probably diluted with water and so many other fucking burned off chemicals, right? That, you know, these ships are sitting here, hey, you know, it's almost like a fucking auction. Hey, I give it to you for fucking, you know, $9 a gallon. Oh, I give it to you for $8 a gallon, you know, so all this stuff. And, you know, there's additives, there's shit like that. It's like, gas is like cocaine. You have to cut it so you can make more. So you're not fully getting fuel, fucking pure gasoline. You know, if you live in a cold area, we get extra ethanol put into the fucking gas for a winter mix. All right, so if you don't have a BMW and you just have a regular car, it's no different getting fucking 89 or 87 octane in the winter months in the Northeast, because everything's got the 10% fucking ethanol, so it don't freeze and all that bullshit. When the summer comes around, then they start extracting that a little bit. But do they really? Does any gas station want to lose money on the most valuable commodity that they fucking have? No, of course not. Because if it runs out faster, then that means you come back, right? So you'll find yourself driving at certain times, going to different gas stations, finding out, oh, wow, geez, I filled up the other day. And I'm already fucking halfway through my tank. And, you know, I did my normal driving, but I wasn't driving at 85. I was driving at, you know, 70. So I should fucking at least recoup like 1 or 2 gallons, you know what I mean? So you start seeing these differences between different gas stations, right? So you start going to what works for you and what works for your engine. Just because it's 89 and it's expensive doesn't mean it can't be fucking 88, all right? Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it because there's nobody watching the watches. Once that gasoline from the truck downloads it into the fucking ground, all bets are off. Do you know what I mean? All bets are off. You know what I mean? There's nobody under there just watching it and saying, oh, yeah, it's it. Yep, going in there. Thing's tight. I locked it. Boom. Now nobody has the key to this lock. And if they do, it set off an alarm. So whatever company that fucking delivers the fucking gas and so on and so forth, right? So the Taiwanese got fed shit gas into that tanker. Through the whole trip, had no problem, right? Because it's a full tank, everything's going good. Whatever went through the system is already went through the system and fucked it up, right? So they poured. Now they dock everywhere else. You know, I think they docked in like fucking Delaware. They docked in Jersey. I mean, not Jersey, but Virginia or some fucking thing. And every time they left port, they had a tugboat. You know, you have boats that fucking guide these ships. I mean, we're talking massive fucking amounts of fucking real estate on a barge to take out fucking a dock. Like, no problem. Look at what it did to a bridge. And it was only going 8 miles an hour. Imagine if one was going fucking 20. Like, forget about it. So it would peel up the ground like a fucking onion. So anyway, when it's in Baltimore, they get gas, okay? What I'm thinking is that they got probably better gas in Baltimore than they did in Taiwan, and all the bullshit in the fucking gas from Taiwan had started fucking up the system. So before they left port, they were already having mechanical issues, So that just leads me to believe it came from Taiwan. The gas was bad in Taiwan. It ran through the fucking engine in the system, caused the problems. By the time they made it to dock, it was starting to rear its ugly head to the point where, shit, you know, we got to get a mechanic down here. So now the mechanics go down there. They figure it out, and they're probably saying to themselves, we got beat on the fucking gas. Like, there's not enough ethanol in here. So what probably somebody do, just like you do with your fucking, as simple as your lawnmower, spray a little fucking fire starter in there, you know what I mean, a little extra combustion, and bada bing, the thing's done, and so the boat starts back up. So now they're thinking, all right, look, we got, you know, most likely we got better gas. Once this shit runs through the system, we should be all right, you know what I mean? And then once we get back home, maybe they'll fix it, who knows, right? So they take off, and there's not a fucking tugboat to be seen or heard anywhere, okay? Now, for some weird reason, they got guys on the bridge at whatever time doing repairs at night. Like, you know, repairs at night makes no sense. Like, they don't even fucking pave roads at night down here in Boston. Are you shitting me? Like, I don't know, like, in Baltimore, you're going to have to pay them a lot of fucking money. Now, I don't mean to bring this up, but what I'm trying to get at is that there's people that come to this country legally, and they fucking work their balls off. Like them four people that died that night. So those poor bastards were sacrificed. Not in a fucking Illuminati way, but in a way where, look it, if we have a fucking plane coming into the Pentagon again, I have to take out the 250 souls with a rocket before it takes out another 1,000 souls. You know what I mean? It's all about the lesser casualties at that point. So if you want more casualties, then you're going to let the plane hit the fucking Pentagon. But in the government's eyes, that would never happen. They'll kill 1,000 to save a million. Do you know what I mean? That's just how it goes. It's fucking protocol. And it's usually like a universal thought. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, I'm the oldest. Like, hey, we're the oldest people here. We'll fucking rush the door first. They'll shoot us. You guys are younger. You got kids. You know what I'm saying? You guys will live on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just how it goes, right? So, you know, it seems as if they thought the fucking engine was going to be okay. It loses its power. Maybe they used a shit bad battery, like lithium ion battery. And they lose power meaning like electricity power. There's a mayday call. They drop the anchors. It's still not enough to slow down the ship. And it hits it dead. Like, it's so weird to me that, like, how fast that thing could have... If it was dead center to slide underneath that fucking... Underneath the guys that was the truck. Like, when you see the bridge, shot. You see the flashing lights on the side. Like, that's exactly target zero. Like, right there. That was ground zero for the fucking whack into the fucking pillar. Because if it doesn't whack into the pillar, it's not going to take the bridge down. The height clearance is there. So it makes people, it gives this speculation that it was deliberate. Okay? And you can blame it on malfunction of the vessel. But is there something bigger at play? Now, what do I mean by that? Well, if you watch the Fessify and we double back to Ryan Garcia, he starts coming up with that he predicted this outcome. And, you know, like, there was so much as to where there was a tweet that he said there was going to be a bridge accident in the Chesapeake Bay in Baltimore, and so what happened. And, you know, of course, somebody kind of is talking, but like I said, you don't see all the people that are talking because you don't see their names. You know, now, everybody's silent, except for him and the host, whoever this whatever he's rolling with, something with sports, I don't know. And so he gets questioned on it. And he's like, you know me, I never admit. You know me, I don't delete any of my tweets. So Festify kind of puts up the tweet. And it's just like, you know, two sentences on all, I think in all caps, saying, you know, that the bridge was going to collapse. And so, you know, a kid asked him, like, wow, you fucking predicted that. You know, did you delete that tweet? And he's like, nah, you know me, I don't delete my tweets. And this, that, and the third. He goes, I didn't predict this. It's just when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and all this bullshit. And I'm like, all right, here we fucking go. So now in my head, I'm like, all right, if this kid is really real and he's not getting laid up by whoever's the nine people that are surrounding the. So when he puts out one of these host chats, right, I'm going to follow him on Twitter, on X. And when he puts out one of these chats, I'm going to go in there because I want to talk to the kid. I want to ask him two questions. Where's Mayweather? And why ain't Gervonta Davis fucking talking about this? And he's going to say, well, Gervonta and I talked to Floyd. Yeah, I know you talked to Floyd, but why ain't Floyd talking about you to the fucking media is one thing. Because you're running it. You fought at Mayweather's gym. You trained under Mayweather. And you were on the PBD podcast, saying that you respect Mayweather and everything, but he told you not to take this fight against Devin Haney. Right? Correct? And he's going to say, yep. And I'm going to say, okay, now, why are you taking this fucking fight? Is the rumors true in Vegas that you're a fish? Yeah. Okay. All right. I don't mean to interrogate you, but I got to get clear-cut answers from you before you go on a fucking manic rant. And that's what's going to happen. If I ask him one question, he's going to go over on me, and whoever the host is will shut me down. Because they won't let nobody really ask him a pointed fucking question. Like, you can't tell me that... Oh, shit, I'm not supposed to go this way. Fuck me. Sorry. You can't tell me that... You know, these people ain't layering him up. Now, say what you want. The kid's got some kind of CTE and they're fucking working an angle. Or unless fucking Golden Boy knows that he's not going to fight. And this kid is just trying to stir up any kind of fucking clicks, hits, type of controversy, whatever. Just to get people talking, getting people chattering, getting people on YouTube. Just getting people to know what's going on. Because what's the other fight that's before this fight? You guessed it. Tyson and fucking Jake Paul. Now, why isn't nobody talking about Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney? I mean, these are really two boxes. These are two fucking boxes. Like, legit boxes. Logan Paul's a fucking... I really don't know where this cat came from. Like, you know, I know he was a YouTube kid and stuff. When he, like, started fucking bodybuilding and just started fucking beating people's ass. So he takes Nate Diaz to town in a fucking ring. Why didn't he just go bail now? Why didn't he meet him in a fucking MMA match? Like, that's fucking bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, that's, to me, it's just fucking bullshit. So, in any event, you know, who knows? The kid fucking gets a, you know, who knows, Logan, gets a fucking bunch of fucking money, right? You know, and I don't mean to be like this, but I just have to call it how I see it. Like, I see Logan Paul, I see the Nelk boys, I see fucking Steve will do it, I see the Spanish kid, and I see the Steenie kid. Like, when they first started out, they was blonde hair like a motherfucker, like blonde like fucking Bobby blonde, and I'm like, hey, here we go with the blonde shit again, and then all of a sudden, right, they make their bones, okay, and next thing you know, Nelk, but the kid Nelk didn't have to do it. Steve didn't have to do it. Okay, that's the shit. Is the kid with the kid with the dark hair on the Nelk boys run shit? All right, and then they fucking they got the you know, I hate to say it, but the black kid that's not from the hood, has no idea, has been dealt with a silver spoon, right? Shouldn't even be allowed to say the word N-word when they were on the fucking cruises, as far as I'm concerned. And that nose says a lot to me, okay? So I already know what's really popping with that. And I know what's popping with Steve, and I'm thinking I already know what's popping with the dude Nelk, okay? Now, you know, they do these things, oh, let's go fuck with the kid with Hezbollah, and let's go to Israel and shit like that, and all that. Yeah, of course they're going to do all that stuff. Now, what I'm trying to get at is that it's all a fucking fake. Every YouTube video you see, except for maybe a couple five pranks here and there, most of the prank jokes are fucking bogus. I watch Top Notch Idiots, and you guys can verify this. I watched Top Notch Idiots. I know I lost my train of thought and I fucking jumped off, but I lost my train of thought and I don't have a producer. But listen, it'll come to me. I watched Top Notch Idiots. You guys know, right? And if you watch the barbershop one, everything which you see is not as it seems. The eye only sees what it wants to see, and they hide in plain sight. Just remember those three things. So at the barbershop, when Top Notch Idiots is in there and he's getting, I can't remember his name right now, Nico or whatever. He's fucking, Upto or something. He's doing the barber and he's got his pink hood on and shit. The first cat that comes in, with the blonde hair that he puts a dick on his head, the kid that he puts a dick on his head, right? When he was doing that, right, he's cutting into it. Now, anybody that's been in the barber and you're good, you know about your fades, if you felt somebody doing with that to your hair, you'd be like, yo, what are you doing? Like, you should be using a one first to ball that up and then fade it from like where you're starting. And if you're fucking way up here where you're putting fucking spew marks, bro, like, that's where the fade is, like, if you wanted a high and tight, you know, or, I mean, you know what I'm saying? So, anyway, I'm watching this, and I'm like, yo, how come, like, the cat doesn't look over to the dude and be like, yo, if he fucks up my hair, I'm suing this joint. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm suing this joint. And then, you have to get the okay, because you're inside a store, that it's okay for him to be filmed. Do you know what I'm saying? So, all that was like flags all around. Then I see another skit that they did when Upto is in a fucking casket. If you look on the pews where they're sitting, you'll see the same exact kid that was in the barber shop with the dick on his head sitting in the pew of the church. I'm like, that's the same kid that was in the fucking barber shop. I'm like, oh wow, none of this shit is fucking real. So you see the video when they're at the karate fucking when they're at the fucking karate thing, they're at the karate thing, and you know they're talking shit and doing this and doing that, come in with a bong. This kid's there, right? So obviously said, yeah, you can have the bong, but it can't have any kind of residue in it. So it was a brand new bong, as you can see, right? They come out in the geese and shit, and then this like big fight happens. And then this big dude comes out and starts fucking throwing everybody over. It looks really real, but to the point where when the guy came out and started hitting people and just throwing them over, I was like, ah, he just threw them over his fucking shoulder. That's it. Like, you know, come on, like, you know, and like the other, like the three guys are like holding him back and shit. If I was me and I was the owner, I'd say, you better get your fucking hands off me or I'm going to fire you. All right. So it's either your job or fucking me kicking their ass. That's it. So that's all it's going to take. And it's all a ruse, because then they had to talk to him and say, yeah, we're on YouTube. We do these pranks and shit. And so the kids probably, you know, oh, yeah, you know, because it had to cut at a certain point, and they had to tell him what was going on. So they probably, you know, said, "Hey, all right, we're gonna do this one more shot. We're gonna talk about what we just talked about, and you know, just act like it was real. Like, you know, hey, you guys shouldn't be doing that because you know, you never know what could happen. You could really get hurt, and all this, that, and third." So, yeah, it's all bullshit. But I gotta take a piss.
So I'm gonna close on the Ryan Garcia because I got off track with y'all. So the thing is that, like I said, he's making a whole bunch of publicity and noise over the fight. You know, like, it seems like, you know, he's just doing a marketing strategy. And when they did the press conference, you know, when he had all this theatrics coming in and shit, they introduced a replacement for him. You know what I mean? And so, like, they asked the replacement, they're like, you know, hey, you know, what's up? And he's like, well, I'm just here to just, you know, I'm here to replace any one of these two fighters. And I'm like, in my head, and I'm like, yeah, well, obviously we can see which one's fucking getting replaced, because he sure as hell doesn't look like he's ready for a fucking fight. Like I said, he's ready for a fucking debate. And he can't even do that. So when he does these lives, like I was saying, I want to get on the live and say, you know, hey, you know, ask him some pointed questions and say, you know, where's the tweet where you predicted the fucking, the Chesapeake Bay bridge accident? Do you know what I mean? Because if you can do that, then you can tell me the fucking lottery number. You know what I'm saying? So what I feel is that, like, when I seen the tweet from Fessify, the Twitter account that goes on YouTube, that puts up these videos of Ryan Garcia, it seems like he's the only one that gets these clips. And out of the 8,000 people that are even watching him on TikTok or wherever fucking platform he is on now, he beats them all to the punch. So in my head, I'm like, I don't get it. Like, I just don't get it. I think this is all a fucking ruse. It's all a ruse. And this kid, Fessify, is not just as lucky as we seem. He's part of the op, the psyop that's going on here. So, you know, why doesn't Mayweather come out for you? And then the thing is that if you know so much, you know what I'm saying, why not just start fucking doing it and going to these places? You have the money, you know what I'm saying? It's like, he's got like one foot inside the fucking the boule and 1 foot outside the boule, and this is just like what they do to stir up controversy. Because nobody talks about this fight. Nobody is talking about this fight. Nobody's talking about Ryan Garcia, one of the up and coming stars, all right? Almost 10 million followers on, you know, whatever, X or Instagram, and he's fighting, and he's gonna fight Devin Haney, which is another fucking star, two prominent boxers, and it's getting overshadowed by some exhibition fight. What are we talking about here? What are we talking about here? So in my head, I'm like, if the prominent boxers are not getting even any type of airtime because they're getting smothered by the Logan Paul and the Tyson fight, it just goes to show me that they already know that Ryan ain't gonna be in the ring. It's gonna be an exhibition fight as well. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't. How does that make sense? That's like having the suit. That's like saying that, you know, fucking the World Series is gonna overshadow the Super Bowl. Do you know what I mean? Like, no, and nobody's talking about the Super Bowl. Just talking about the fucking World Series when the Super Bowl rakes in 127 million viewers. What the hell? Like, come on. So, you know, it's all a fucking show, bro, at the end of the day. Because, again, he cherry-picks conspiracy theories, you know, and if you knew about the Chesapeake Bay fucking bridge collapse, and what was, then you had to know what was on that cargo. And if you knew what was on that cargo, that's telling me that you got money in sectors of energy, okay? So, because what was on that boat was nothing but coal, fucking lithium ion batteries, some other fucking chemicals and shit like that. So, you know, either you knew about it because you had some inside friggin' stock market information, right? Which would only lead to me to have more questions. Why the SEC wouldn't fucking have this kid already wrapped up? You know what I mean? Like, because if he predicted that, somebody would have said, "Oh shit! Well, what the fuck?" Like, I'm, you know, hey, FOMO's out there. Somebody would have took the fucking shot. Somebody would have took the shot. You know what I mean? I mean, they did it with GameStop. They would have did it with this thing. They would have said, somebody would say, "Well, you know what? He might. What if he's right? I would take the gamble." So I'm going to follow him on, Twitter, and if next time he goes live, and I get a notification, I'm going to see if I can jump in there and be like, "Hey, can I just, like, start talking to this cat since he wants to fucking start talking?" Because, like, he's let out so many things that, that's, like, crazy. But the one thing that's fucking crazy is, like, you know, when he talks fucking shit about, you know, she talks shit about fucking Oscar. He's fucking, you know, he tells Mayweather, I love you, but I'm gonna still do the fight. And why the two people that would know Ryan the best, or three people, would be Devin Haney, Javante Davis, and Mayweather. I mean, Mayweather was hanging out with him before, like 2 weeks before the PBD podcast. So I think after he heard him on the PBD podcast, you know, he probably said, oh shit, he ain't right now. Something's not right, because he wasn't talking to me like that, and he wasn't acting like that. So, you know, whatever he's doing is really fucked up, and Mayweather wants no part of it. It seems like he doesn't even want his brand, his name, associated with Ryan anymore. So, to me, it seems like the cat's never going to go box again. Because he's probably fucking one or two hits away from being a fucking vegetable, right? So, like, you know, like, how can a kid be totally fine before a couple fights, but then have a dehydration problem, right? Or whatever the stipulations were between him and Javante Davis. Javante Davis hits him with a fucking kidney shot. First he hit him with the head shot, knocked his fucking dick loose. Or it was the kidney shot, and then knocked his head, and like, you could just see his eyes just rocked, and it stood still. Like, like his eye just went to the side, and it just was locked. So, like, the lightning bolt strike was fucking hot. And, you know, and given, like I said, you know, you take into consideration the years of pounding that they take, even in sparring. Like, you know what I'm saying? And if Devin Haney and, you know, if they're pound for pounds, bro, they're getting it in. You know what I'm saying? Fuck it. Regardless, even if headgear, like, your shit's still getting rocked, bro. You know, so I just think that's what it is that he's got an issue, and they still don't want to do it. They don't want to say it yet, and he's either marketing this fight, and he's trying to find some other avenue, which would be like a creator or influencer, whatever you want to call it. And he doesn't even talk about the Tyson fight. Like, he probably might have mentioned it, but since I've watched any of the videos of him, he hasn't talked much about that Tyson fight. Like, I don't think he even mentioned it even once. And I'm like, wow, I'm like, this is crazy. Like, their fight's April 20th, and Tyson's fight is July. I think Tyson's fight with that fucking kid, Logan Paul, it's gonna be like, what, July 30th? So, you know, it's one of those things, man. I'm like, wow, this it's just strange. It's the most strangest thing I've ever seen in boxing. Like, you look at it, like, first they want headgear for Tyson and Logan. Then they're not gonna use the headgear. They're gonna probably use, like, fucking, you know, these little fat, like, fatty gloves. You know what I mean? It's turning into a straight fucking spectacle show. You know what I mean? Like I said, the Nelk boys, you start looking at these videos. Check out that video, Top Notch Idiots, again, when he's in the barber shop and he's got the Brazilian kid and he's got the little flares and he's like, oh, I want to look like Cristiano Ronaldo. And it's that kid. Then type in Opto fakes his death at a funeral or something, or Opto at a funeral. And then if you look at the beginning, they'll do a straight shot of him, and then they'll have a side shot of the people in there. He's literally the first person in like the second. He's in the second row, first person in the pew, just chilling. And I'm like, holy fuck! Like this kid, and I'm not gonna sit there and believe that fucking, you know, oh hey, you wanna, you know, be in this fuck, you wanna be a fucking, you know, an extra in this this here spectacle. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, that what? So it's all bullshit. It's almost all fucking bullshit. Some of it, I know some of it's real, but it's like you can't. That's why they always do a dab, like, yo, it's okay if I get you on camera, it's okay if I get you on camera. So like, it's like even in Practical Jokers, that shit was staged. You know what I mean? Like the pool thing, like when, like, I don't know if you guys ever watched it, but Sally's like, he's like in the pool and he's fucking with the kids and he's like, yeah, all right, listen, 5 minutes, you're out of the pool. And I'm like watching the faces of the mothers and I'm like, in Boston, a mother would be like, what are you doing talking to my kid? What are you saying to my son? You know what I mean? Like, they would be all up in your shit. So it took like 3 women to come by until he goes to this mama bear and she's like, hello? You know what I mean? And then he fucking kicks her out. And then all of a sudden, like, you could see like people with like the producers, you know? So I'm just like, this is all bullshit. This is like all fucking bullshit. So I just, it's funny when you start looking at, when the eye sees what it really wants to see instead of being entertained. It's amazing. It really is. And I know that sounds kind of fucked up or weird to everybody, but if you watch some of those videos and instead of watching what you need to watch, watch like the background. Who's in the side background? Who's in the foreground? Like, you know, things like that. And you know, what am I not seeing? Is what you got to be asking yourself. What am I not seeing? So, is the bridge collapse on purpose? Or was it an accident? To me, it had to be purposeful. You know, you got countries that need to be, you know, energy compliant by, you know, 2050. So, you know, now that they've burned all the fucking coal to make solar panels and shit, you know, we're exporting coal, and you're gonna start having to kill those sectors. Those sectors are huge conglomerates. It's going to take years. So they got to start somewhere. And I just think that was the first blow on the energy sector as far as coal goes. Like, that was letting everybody know that, hey, we'll take down a fucking bridge for this shit. And that's the first indication that, yep, it's going down. So, I don't know. If you're in coal, I don't know how it's gonna be for you in the next 20 years, because I don't think the profits is gonna be as big as they are now. That's for sure. But speaking of which, as quickly before I end this on the stock market tips, guys, real quick, Rumble's awesome. I know they didn't meet earnings expectations, but that doesn't mean nothing, you know, just because on how the quarter was that time and what might have been going on. But by the end of this year, they're going to be like solid. So they're a buy. If you can get in anytime, if you can get into Rumble anything lower than $7.50, I would grab as much as you can. And then also BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed had dismal earnings report, and a lot of people get sucked in because, like, you know, Wednesday or Thursday, they fucking start jumping it up. People get on this gravy train. What happened is I waited till Monday. The stock went down because the reports were shit. I bought, and then next thing you know, they merged with a UK company. So now that they merged with a UK company, their stock is at, like, 40, 45 cents. So you'd have to buy 100 shares at 45 cents. So, you know, cost you probably like, what, 40, 45 bucks, or 40, 40, $43, $42. Anyway, in any event, BuzzFeed gives you an awesome return for your dollar. You know what I mean? So if like I got in at, I think 20 cents. So where I'm up 40, I'm up, you know, I'm up like what, almost 50%. So, and for what I put in, I'm like, holy shit, this is great. I wish I bought more. So, that's a real good start to look at. And then also, Workhorse, that's like, I think at 20 cents right now. And where the summer's kicking up and, you know, construction will get going. And where it being an election year, the Omni bill fucking passed the House. That wouldn't be a good start. That wouldn't be a bad stock to look at if you can get in at or below at 20. Once it cools off, if it's jumping, grab into it. If you grab in at 23, that's also a good position, because if it goes low, you can always buy more. You know what I mean? So, and don't worry about like, oh, today this month was bad. Like it didn't, you know, I lost a few bucks. Don't worry about it. If you buy more, you're gonna have a thing called compound interest, and that is a beautiful thing. So, you know what I mean? That's about as all I can lay for you. This is not sound trading advice. I'm not saying go do it. I'm not saying it's a sure thing. It's just my opinion on that. So I don't want to lead anybody astray. But if you guys have questions on that stuff, if there's any of yous out there that are curious about, you know, Webull or crypto, Doge is flying, fucking Uni's flying. I just got into it probably a couple months ago, and I'm glad I did, because like there's a Doge war fucking waging, and it looks like the Bulls won, and I think the Shiba war starts now too. And so things are flying. Bitcoin's at 70,000. I think that's like the highest. I'm not sure if it's the highest it's been, but I think it's getting close to a new high. So get into those. If you can get into those stocks. If you have any questions about those stocks, feel free to like either hit me up on Spotify, or you can hit me up at waymelanson4@gmail.com and just ask and just put in the subject line, you know, like stocks, so I know like what you're talking about or what kind of question you need answered. And I'll do my best. But yeah, anyway, so that's it, guys. I hope you guys like this, man. I love you all. I'll catch you on the next one. Peace.